This is the Phelan & Myers 2 for 20 with the Willett Phelan Myers & Rotts Wealth Management Group of Janny Montgomery Scott. Janny, a member of FINRA, SIPC, and the New York Stock Exchange, maintains a presence in Duluth with their office at 6340 Sugarloaf Parkway, Suite 130, Duluth, Georgia.
Good morning and welcome to Phelan & Myers 2 for 20. I'm here with Kevin Myers. Kevin, good morning.
Thank you.
And we've got a special guest this morning. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence with James Walters of Tech7 Business Services. So James, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to talk about predominantly about artificial intelligence today, but tell me a little bit about your business because you do a lot of facial recognition software stuff, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for having me. But yeah, our business, we serve customers in two different ways. We either help them create a product. Part of that is with artificial intelligence. Part of it is a kind of a people counting or people recognition. Some of it includes facial recognition as part of the solution. And so we help build and or validate people's products.
Okay. And so facial recognition, what is facial recognition normally used for? For example, I went out to town this past weekend, and when I was going through customs, both my wife and I, you know, went up to the camera and they somehow recognized this ugly face of mine. But what do they do with it? I mean, what is it currently used for? And then where do you think that, you know, part of technology is going?
Yeah. So primarily people are thinking security when you're thinking facial recognition, particularly at the airport. They're literally taking a picture of you. A lot of times you have to volunteer to get into the system, but they're just looking at your face. They're pulling up your details. I'm sure they can see how often you travel. They can verify that you are traveling today, you know, and then if you're kind of on their white list or green list, they're letting you through. But a lot of other people are in like a retail environment. They're using it just to identify, hey, have you been here before? Are you a customer? Are you a shopper? You know, what's our retention between this store, you know, our this location and another location? So there's a couple of things you can do with facial recognition.
So it's not always security related.
Not always security. But again, it's just to help you identify that it's an individual person.
And I assume it's like a thumbprint. There's only, and in Kevin's case, this is a good thing. There's only one face that looks like that. Is that accurate?
It's not totally accurate, but yes, they basically look at your face and then turn it into more or less a math model that turns into a fingerprint.
Okay. Cool. Well, I just wanted to hit on that, you know, briefly because it, you know, all this technology fascinates me and I'm not a tech guy at all. So let's pivot to artificial intelligence. So can you define, you know, what exactly is artificial intelligence and then how did it come about? I assume it was probably in Silicon Valley and, you know, but what was the impetus behind it?
Yeah, sure. So artificial intelligence, just so everybody's on the same page, some people call it AI, they're just shortening artificial intelligence to a smaller word. And artificial intelligence is a technology designed to think or react like a brain would, you know, as opposed to something that's very logic driven or control based.
Okay. And then how did it come about? It was developed in Silicon Valley. What was the impetus behind it? I mean, was it something that people stumbled upon, or they say, hey, we're going to, you know, in certain cases, we can replace humans and because of that, we're going to be a lot more efficient?
The history of artificial intelligence is a little interesting. You may not believe it, but the original thought science began in the late 40s and early 50s.
Really?
With a handful of people between Cambridge and MIT and Harvard, several different, you know, kind of PhD level, computer science level, math guys. We're just starting to think about what it would be like, you know, kind of envisioning, is it possible for something that we created to think or act and respond like a brain?
Okay. And then what is it currently used for? I mean, the only real application that I see is when my son has to write a paper or something and he puts it in ChatGPT. Now, in his defense, he always says, well, it just gets me started, Dad. But it's fascinating what it can do. But I mean, what are the benefits that you're currently seeing and then kind of where do you see it evolving? Because there's a lot of fear out there, frankly, from a lot of folks that, hey, you know, unless I work with my hands, can I get replaced by AI?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, definitely, you know, your kids, my kids, I think every college student is using it to write a paper, if not to get started, you know, in some cases, even to write the whole thing. Some of the more practical uses, we've seen it. Siri, you know, with your Apple, you know, all the Apple products, Amazon with their Alexa, those are two probably super common ones that you're using all the time to say, hey, turn the music up, turn the alarm on, turn the lights off, you know, buy something if you so. But if you're talking to technology, regardless of what type of device, you've been interacting with AI maybe already for a decade without even knowing it.
Okay. And those are the primary benefits currently. How do you see that evolving? I mean, where do you see it going with AI?
Yeah, so it's clearly getting smarter and smarter. I mean, Tesla is using it in their driving cars along with a variety of other car manufacturers. One of the early on successes was Netflix of just implementing AI into what it recommends for you, how they're looking for ways to keep you on their platform longer. And they built an algorithm or a bot that's just that's looking at all of your preferences, what you like and what you don't like, and what other people similar to you are listening to, and saying, hey, like we want to be able to make a recommendation to you that has a 95% or higher possibility that you're really going to enjoy it. And they've gotten really good. I don't know if you watch Netflix, but if you choose their recommendations, there's a very high probability, even if you don't know the show or the movie or the series, that it's going to be something you're interested in.
Okay. So when I'm, Google searching something on my phone, and then a day or two later, things pop up, related to that Google search, that's AI that's connecting that dot. Is that?
Yeah, that's another good example. I mean, Google's collecting a bunch of data saying, yeah, what are you looking for? Are you looking to, are you looking to go somewhere? Are you looking to buy something? Are you just looking to get more information? And yeah, Google is taking in multiple sources from your email, from your searches. If you're watching YouTube, also owned by Google, saying, hey, what is this person trying to do? And let's help them, maybe in the most positive way, let's help them kind of get where they're going.
Okay. So why is there so much fear and concern about AI? You hear Elon Musk talk about that from time to time, that, artificial intelligence could be, the end of humanity. Why is that?
Sure. I can imagine a scenario where, let's say, we just replaced all of our judges in, the judicial system and said, hey, we're just going to give them all the laws and we'll just let them hear the case. And then we'll just let them decide, who wins the lawsuit or the judgment on somebody. And I could see that being a very misuse of something that might be totally capable of understanding, the exact law and being able to decide, yeah, you broke a law or you didn't break a law, you infringed on a patent or you didn't infringe on a patent, but maybe missed a bigger picture of the emotional side, of the logical side, of the human factor of where we are and what really happened.
So then that would evolve into some ethical concerns, I would think, as well.
Exactly. On the military side, wouldn't want to give an AI bot a gun at the moment. In ChatGPT, you can plug in a lot of information, and it's sometimes interesting. ChatGPT feeds it back to you as if it were factual information, and then when you go to look up the facts, you're like, wow, that didn't even exist. Like, that's not actually what happened. Whether it's a stock number or whether it's a score for
Does that happen a fair game, amount?
That happens a lot.
Really? So really, it's the person that's inputting the data. If they want to skew the data in one direction, they can skew the data that way.
Right. And a lot of times, particularly with ChatGPT, and other similar bots, they're just taking in a whole bunch of text and nobody's necessarily putting guardrails and marketing and saying, this is a factual 100% guaranteed number. It's just looking at it and saying, oh, well, you're asking for a number, and I know about numbers, and how about 13? That's a number.
So do you see the industry evolving where there are some guardrails on the information that's provided by AI?
Sure. I think there's a big debate at the moment. Should governments get involved and kind of build some really strong or high walls that says, hey, do whatever you want to do, but do it in the, do it in these bounds. And I think prior to that, we are seeing some self-regulation from corporations saying, hey, for example, if you ask ChatGPT financial information, it will immediately respond and say, hey, we do not provide financial information. Their engineers and their organization is smart enough to know that, hey, like, we might be making up some of the things that, are facts, and we don't want people to lose their money or bet on something that could be devastating financially. And so we're seeing companies put in some guardrails. There's been Another big guardrail is just the language that they're able to use. They quickly know, a lot of scientists or engineers quickly notice that bots can be very biased, you know, whether that's to a particular generation or type of user or ethnicity, you know, or religion. And they've tried to kind of put in some guardrails and said, hey, let's try to remove as much bias, you know, as possible. Let's remove as much offensive language as possible. So some of it is happening already. They're self-regulating.
And so do you see AI in the not too distant future starting to replace human jobs? I'm sure to some extent they already have, but you hear about the end of humanity because of AI. You know, I assume part of that is if everybody's job is replaced and everyone is unemployed, you know, that could be the end of humanity if you don't have somewhere to go every day, right?
That could be. I can't envision a world where everybody's job gets replaced. I mean, at least somebody's got to keep creating the technology and training the bot, you know, or the thing to get smarter and grow. And so maybe only the computer scientists won't get replaced. I mean, the rest of you guys might be out of luck. I do really see it as a tool. And our high school students are definitely, high school and college students are definitely leveraging it as as a tool. I think where it is today, and if you're using it in very narrow, specific applications, it can be very successful. And if you try to go too wide, it really falls apart quick.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah, and I don't, you know, the world can only end one time. You know what I mean? I don't really subscribe to that theory, but I'm always curious what the rationale behind it is. Kevin, did you have any questions you want to throw in?
As you say that, I think a lot of people also are concerned, like you were talking about, James, with respect to any military integration with AI and just the thoughts around robotics and AI being mixed together. What are trends are you seeing in that arena?
Yeah, so I do have a few customers in kind of the government and defense, and I mostly work on the data gathering side, if you will, not necessarily the the offensive, you know, pull triggers or drop bombs. At least what I'm seeing in my little small world is they're really using AI to gather information to make better decisions in real time, and at least give the humans sitting in the seat or flying the plane or driving a tank or, you know, or a group of guys on the ground the right information so that they can make, you know, in some situations, you know, a split-second decision or a life-saving decision with the right information. And, you know, again, when you have narrow inputs and specific outputs, AI is a great technology that can be leveraged today.
Okay. That was awesome. Thank you, James.
Could you just briefly walk through, like you keep talking about the narrow versus the large. Can you also just help people understand that, you know, AI isn't just some big abstract one thing. It's a bunch of unique, small data pieces, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there is a big, you know, there is a big divide. Something like narrow would be a good example is facial recognition of saying, hey, if I give you a picture, you tell me where the face is. And then, you know, and then the next step of maybe being able to look it up and saying, hey, I know Scott, I can recognize this is Kevin. And a wide example is more of our ChatGPT where it can take in a lot of input, but it doesn't. There's no guaranteed output. The developers haven't trained it or kind of got it specific enough to say, hey, we want to do this one thing really well. And that's part of the problem with ChatGPT is that it's not narrow or specific enough to be great at what it does. Although you can have a lot of fun depending on what questions you ask it.
It's fascinating, the information that you get from it.
I think even Google, you now have the option to add some AI in some of the responses that Google will do and kind of give some summary, AI summaries of the data that you've searched. So for folks that are wanting to step in and just get their feet wet, that's a pretty good way to start.
Anything that I should be asking you that I'm not? I feel like it's such a big world out there, and you know what I know is so limited that there's got to be stuff that is of interest. I just don't know to ask you those questions.
Yeah, what question to be asked? I don't know. But I would say if you're a business owner, for sure, you should be asking the question, is there any part of AI that can be helping my business? And whether that's to automate something, whether that's to kind of improve an internal process, whether it's to kind of look at your data, you know, be it financial, be it analytical data, and help summarize or help it look forward, I think there's a lot of ways, particularly a business owner, could pull in something either in the market or develop something for their business that might turn out to give them a great amount of leverage in today's market.
And who are those consultants, AI consultants, I guess, for lack of a better term? There's people out there that that's what they do, AI consulting, and they can come in, they can sit down with you. Is that something that you do?
That's something that my business does. And, you know, and to be honest, there's a lot of small companies out there, you know, that say, hey, we are either experts or have some knowledge in AI. And depending on what you can do, they can help you build or train a model specifically to help your business.
Okay. And then you drop that information into the business to become more efficient. I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Any more questions, Kevin? You good?
No, that's good. I think, like you said, we wanted to kind of keep it high level, but kind of demystify what AI is. And so hopefully that's been accomplished.
Yep. That was awesome. Thank you, James. We appreciate you coming out and taking a little bit of time with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Scott and Kevin.
The information provided here is taken from sources which we believe to be reliable, but the accuracy and completeness of such information is not guaranteed by us. This is not an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Employees of Janney Montgomery Scott, LLC, or its affiliates may at times release written or oral commentary, technical analysis, or trading strategies that differ from the opinions expressed here. Investing may involve market risk, including possible loss of principal. Janney Montgomery Scott, LLC, its affiliates, and its employees are not in the business of providing tax, regulatory, accounting, or legal advice. Any tax-related statements are not intended for and cannot be used or relied upon by any such taxpayer for the purpose of avoiding tax penalties. Any such taxpayer should seek advice based on the taxpayer's particular circumstances from an independent tax advisor. For more information about Janney, please see Janney's Relationship Summary, Form CRS, on www.janney.com/CRS, which details all material facts about the scope and terms of our relationship with you and any potential conflicts of interest.